Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we resume our extensive study on the seven feasts of Israel given in Leviticus 23, a chapter that is often overlooked in the teaching of the church. Yet it is a chapter that reveals much about the Messiah. As we have discovered, each of these feasts foreshadows, typifies, and is a prophetic picture of the Messiah from Calvary to the Second Coming. And the current feast that we are analyzing, the Feast of Tabernacles, is certainly no different. Indeed, it is the feast that points to the return and reign of Messiah over all the earth. Zechariah the prophet makes this clear in chapter 14 of his book when he prophesies that in the coming day, the Messiah King will reign over all the earth from Jerusalem. All the nations of the world, all the Goyim, the Gentiles, will be required to go up to Jerusalem once every year to worship the King Messiah in Jerusalem. And if they don't, the consequences will be dire indeed. In fact, they will not receive rain upon their land, Zechariah tells us. And the coming of rain, as we know, is one of the dominant themes of this feast. It was a feast that besought the Lord and asked Him to give the latter rain so that Israel could have a successful fall harvest. Well, as we look at this feast, we discovered last time that this feast has the number 7 recurring throughout it. 7, of course, is the number we discovered for divine completion or accomplishment. When the Lord created the universe, we are told in Genesis that on the last day when He finished creation, He rested. That doesn't mean that He got tired and had to stop. It simply means that He took satisfaction in what He created. He rested in the satisfaction that what He created was good and perfect prior to the fall. And so 7 is a recurring number in this feast. And there are also 2 other recurring numbers that also occur with this feast along with the number 7, and that is the number 15 and the number 8. 15 was the day on which the Feast of Tabernacles occurred. 15, the number 15, was the day that the feast happened, or was to be celebrated, according to Leviticus 23, 33 through 35. So, Tabernacles began on the 15th day of Tishri, which would be the 7th and final month in Israel's sacred or religious calendar. The feast was then to last for 7 days from the 15th of Tishri to the 21st day. And for 7 days, the people of Israel were to rejoice in the sukkah that they built, the booths. Then on the 8th day, the final day which concluded Sukkot, the Lord told Israel it was to be a day of holy assembly, and it was a special Sabbath of rest, Leviticus 23:36 says, God speaking to Moses, "For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it." So, as with the 6 feasts prior to Tabernacles, we discovered that they too held a special Shabbat, or a rest. And tabernacles was no different. They were to rest in God's provision of atonement that would bring salvation. They were to rest in nothing else, not in their ability to keep the law of Moses, nor in their attempts at good works. No, rather, they were to rest in the Lord's provision for their salvation given through the blood of atonement. That was a truth in the Old Testament, reverberating throughout the seven feasts of Leviticus 23, and they point to the ultimate and conclusive truth of the New Testament as well, that one must rest in God's salvation provided through the final atonement of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not rest trusting in that, we are lost and we cannot be saved. So the Lord, in the Old Testament, with these feasts, was beginning to drive this fundamental truth of salvation home to the people of Israel. And that is, they were to rest in God's provision of salvation offered through the blood of sacrificial atonement. And this truth was fully realized and fulfilled in the New Testament with Christ's once for all sacrifice for sin, in which all of mankind is exhorted to trust and rest in for forgiveness of sins and total salvation. This feast then was to fall on the 15th day of Tishri, that is the Feast of Tabernacles. It would last for 7 days, and it would conclude on the 8th day with a holy assembly. Again, the numbers here, as we've seen with 7, the numbers 15 and 8 also bear a significant spiritual meaning. First of all, the number 15 in Scripture connotes the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection. 15, the one way to arrive at 15, is 8 plus 7. 7 is another recurrent number with the Feast of Israel and with the Feast of Tabernacles here. 8 plus 7 gives you 15. So if 7 means God's work completed, and 8 means a new beginning, and they both of them total to signify resurrection. What a beautiful truth illustrated through biblical numerics. And that is that the resurrection was God's final act. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was God's final act for the redemption of man, which brought mankind a new beginning. 8 is the number of new beginning. Yeshua rose on the 8th day, the first day of the Jewish week. 7 plus 8 gives us 15, and it shows us then that God's power revealed through the resurrection of Messiah has brought mankind a new beginning. A new beginning that entails victory over death and the defeat of death itself by the resurrection of Christ, the first fruits of those who have died, and signify that the rest of His people will be raised just as He was raised when Jesus returns at the rapture. If you doubt that 15 can mean resurrection in Scripture, let me give you a few examples and they shall suffice. First of all, Noah's Ark was born by the flood 15 cubits upwards. Remember that Noah and his family represented life and refuge within the ark. Outside of that ark was death. And they were lifted above the death, the universal death that occurred on the earth with the flood, and they found a refuge and new life from death in the ark. Secondly, another instance where 15 is used for renewed life is Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was given the gloomy prognosis that he was going to soon die, and he fervently and humbly sought the Lord for a prolongation of his life, and he was granted it. He was given an extra 15 years, according to 2 Kings 26. 15 years. So Hezekiah was delivered from imminent death, and God granted him 15 extra years to his life. Then we jump to the book of Esther, and we discover that the Jewish people were delivered from death under Esther on the 15th day of the month. Exodus 9, 18, and 21. This is notably significant because the Jews' sentence of death was to be carried out with the number 13, a dubious number sometimes in Scripture. And then we go to the New Testament, and 15 again carries with it resurrection life. Remember, in Bethany, where the Lord raised Lazarus, we are told that it was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. So here again, the number 15 is associated with resurrection. And then we have the number 8. The number 8. It also signifies resurrection, and more precisely, a new beginning. It occurred the day after the Sabbath, as with the Feast of First Fruits and Pentecost. Those days also fell on the eighth day, as also is the eighth day for the Holy Assembly to occur on tabernacles. And so these numbers then point to the mission and work of Messiah, and that He alone is the resurrection and the life. And through His resurrection, He has brought a new beginning for man, a new dawn arose with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like with the other six feasts, Tabernacles also was to be observed with many sacrifices. And they are numerous, too numerous to really go into detail here. But suffice it to say that from day one until the eighth day of Sukkot, God required multiple sacrifices from the Levitical priests. The Feast of Tabernacles had its specified number of sacrifices. And all these special sacrifices, keep in mind, on this feast day were beside the regular daily sacrifices of the morning and evening that were also to be offered. One interesting note, in the 7 days of this feast, there were to be 70 bullocks offered, beginning the first day of Tabernacles with 13 bullocks, offering one less bullock per day until the seventh day. The rabbis believe that these 70 bullocks symbolized the 70 major Gentile nations of the earth to which God was offering the blood of atoning forgiveness through the Levitical priesthood in the temple that offered these sacrifices. So even they recognized at such an early date in their ancient history that God desired to bring salvation from Israel to all of the Gentile nations of the world. And I believe this perhaps symbolizes and finds its fulfillment, its true spiritual fulfillment, in the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is basically the proclamation that Christ died for our sins and rose again. That is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. And under the old covenant, these 70 bullocks that were offered were to be done, were to be sacrificed to atone for not only the sins of Israel, but the sins of the Gentile nations. And so now, the forgiveness of sins to all nations, to all peoples everywhere, from Jerusalem to the farthest ends of the earth, that this has now been accomplished through the perfect, supreme, and final sacrifice of Yeshua the Messiah. Jesus died, rose again, and now wants us to go throughout the nations of the world and proclaim that God's free pardon is offered to those who receive the sacrifice paid by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And with these sacrifices, again, we see the numbers 7, 8, and 10 in Leviticus, in Numbers 29, and Numbers 28 as well, we have the list of the sacrifices that were given for these feasts. Concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, we have them clearly delineated and enumerated in Numbers 29, verses 12 through 40. And when you look at these sacrifices, three numbers recur. 7, 8, 10. 7, again, as we have discovered, is the number of divine completion and perfection. It ultimately points to the perfect and complete accomplishment of Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. 8 is another number. This, as we have just mentioned, is the number of resurrection and new beginning. The eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month was set aside as a day of rest. And of course, Jesus Christ rose on the eighth day following the Sabbath. And dispensationally, the Lord will return and reign for the seventh millennium, 4,000 years. The early church and the rabbis believe that God has designated seven periods of 1,000 years each, corresponding to the 7 days of creation. And in each period of 1,000 years, He has a specific dispensation or economy plan for man. And the seventh period of 1,000 years will be the age when Messiah reigns on the earth and the world enters into a millennial rest or Sabbath. And then following the completion of that millennial kingdom, you'll have the eighth period of 1,000 years, which will usher in a new era, a new beginning. See how this repeats and recurs? When God will create the new heavens and the new earth with the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven and touching earth. And then another number associated with these sacrifices to be offered on tabernacles is the number 10. 10, Bible commentators believe, means in Scripture the number of law and order. On the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a total of 10 sacrifices were offered besides their complementary meat and drink offerings. So these 10 sacrifices symbolically point to the fact that the atoning work of Christ will bring rectification, law and order back to creation that was temporarily rent asunder by the chaotic effects of man's sin. So it all weaves and works together, does it not? And these numbers that recur in the Feast of Tabernacles indeed have a clear spiritual meaning to them. And it does well for us to follow them closely. Now let's move on. Let's talk about the service, the temple service that was observed and practiced in Jesus' day when Tabernacles was celebrated, when the Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated. In that time, innumerable multitudes from Judea, Galilee, and the diaspora came to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The crowds jammed the streets of Jerusalem by the afternoon of the 14th day of Tishri. By the close of the day, all the streets of Jerusalem, the surrounding Judean hills and fields were dotted with the sukkahs, the booths that God required the Jewish people to build and dwell in for 7 days in celebration of Tabernacles. Then at sundown, now remember, the day begins and ends at evening in the Jewish calendar. At sundown, the blast of the ram's horn, the shofar from the temple, triumphantly announced the arrival of Tabernacles. And with that, the first ceremony was to be performed. And this was called the water libation ceremony. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the people prayed for the rains of the harvest. They would ask God, the Lord of the harvest, to send the rains so that their crops could bud, bloom, and bear fruit and be harvested. And so for 7 days, each morning of Tabernacles, a water libation was poured out to the Lord as a visual prayer for rain. This water libation ceremony occurred right after dawn. The high priest would lead a joyous delegation filled with music and worship. And they would go to the pool of Shiloah, or the pool of Siloam. Sound familiar? John 5. That's where Jesus found the lame man, and he healed him. Anyway, on the day of Tabernacles, the high priest and his regal procession would go to the pool of Siloam. The high priest would carry a golden pitcher, carrying about a quart of water. He would dip the pitcher into the pool and bring it back into the temple. And so, once the high priest came to the temple with the pitcher of water gathered from the pool of Siloam, he would then go into the temple, entering into the southern gate. I believe that would be the Huldah gates, if I'm not mistaken. And as he was going through this gate, three blasts from the silver trumpets sounded from the temple, and with one voice, all the Levitical priests repeated the words of Isaiah 12:3, which states, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." So this feast not only observed the rains that brought a successful fall harvest, but also it pointed to Israel's need for salvation. And so, as the high priest went to the altar in the outer court of the temple, once he went to a designated area around the altar, he would pour out the water libation before the Lord. And with that also a drink offering of wine was simultaneously poured out as well. Then again, three blasts of the silver trumpets were sounded, and the choir of Levites would then sing the Hallel, which comprises Psalms 113 through 118. By the way, the Hallel is also recited to conclude Passover. And it's also recited every day during the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles with the water libation ceremony. And so, after this ceremony was completed, the congregation of Israel would wave their palm branches toward the altar and join in singing, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity." And both priest and people would then wave the palm branches in anticipation of God sending the rain for the fall harvest and in anticipation of God sending salvation with the coming of Messiah. Indeed, Psalm 118, the last psalm recited in the Hallel during the Feast of Tabernacles, this psalm was conspicuously interpreted to be a messianic psalm. And therefore, it gave this feast a great messianic expectancy and emphasis. This is why, beloved, Jesus was greeted by the crowds shouting Hosanna or Hosanna, which is Hebrew for save now, which is found in Psalm 118, verse 25. And as they were saying this, when Jesus made his triumphal entry in Jerusalem, they were also waving palm branches, as the gospel accounts tell us in Matthew 21, 8 and 9, Luke 19, 38, and John 12, 13. Undoubtedly, the Jewish people who witnessed Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey saw him as their Messiah King who would save them now in fulfillment of Psalm 118. When Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, remember, they shouted and acclaimed him to be the Messiah, the Son of David. This same act will be done in heaven when the redeemed of all the ages stand before the throne of the Lamb and worship the risen and glorified Jesus, the Messiah. They too will have palm branches in their hands, waving them before the Lamb as He sits on the throne of God with the innumerable multitudes of the redeemed worship Him with the waving of palm branches. And so you see how this feast and its accoutrements, as with the palm branches and the drawing out of water, all of this is beautifully, beautifully connected with the coming of Yeshua. And Yeshua will make this connection in John chapter 7. When this very feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the water libation ceremony was occurring. And we will get into that next time I am with you. Please consider supporting us. The announcer will tell you how you can do that. And write or email us for our free bi-monthly newsletter. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.